afternoon, we're going to continue our exploration of facilitation, keep ego out of our interactions. So what we would like you to do is to stand up and find someone you do not know and have not spoken to or with, and partner up with them, and spread out in the room. You can use, yes, recorders and your journals to go with you. Object is. Okay, so when the bell rings, first of all, decide who's going to start the conversation. Which of you is going to start? Okay, so when the bell rings, the person who's initiating the conversation is going to debate your partner on why your item beats theirs. Yes. So, for example, if I bought a cat
ice cream,
we're gonna debate that. So, shall I start?
Sure.
I love my cat. You know, she's such a warm and cuddly experience.
And you know, the thing about cats, though, is that they're just completely on their own terms. For me, I would much rather have an ice cream cone.
Everybody got it?
No, so, no. What are we doing?
You are debating that the item that you chose is better, is beats the other person.
Oh, it's a debate.
It's a debate.
A debate.
Right, so the definition of a debate. The objective of a debate is to persuade or advocate for your own view, attempting to prove the other side wrong, and searching for flaws and weaknesses in the other's position. The premise is to disagree. Everybody got that? Kevin.
Can I ask a clarifying question of my partner's object?
Sure.
What type of dice?
All right, everybody got it? Debate your partner. Go.
That sounds pretty great. Yeah. So I hadn't thought of the figurine dinosaurs because they're not going to kill me. That was my main idea. So I like making new stuff. So
get your groceries, get everything you need, the lodge, things that have been talking about.
So I have no use for picking up these things.
Well, the very
This is a debate. You're disagreeing. Just to point out to everybody, this is a debate in which you are disagreeing.
I'm finding that challenging.
Can I ask a clarifying question? So, with the, if the first person is going first, am I? Are we just talking about her object?
No, you can start. It's a conversation. Okay. It's a debate. So advocate for your position, right?
You're really digging your heels
He's in.
Can we change objects?
Yes. Okay, Janet, you change your object. Everybody else stick with it. All right, keep going.
Yeah, so I play actually a lot of time in the We have many different kinds of games that we play, and it's a living being, and so it plays, it has another part to the games that we play. Usually it's just sort of it's a moving part, but it does, at least it does that much.
Especially in times of conflict, which is processing. Okay? So, taking an excerpt from the communication book.
Can everyone hear? It's important.
Processing. Processing is the name of the communication tool that we're exploring this afternoon. Processing. Got it? So let's say we're housemates and fight constantly over dirty dishes in the sink. So a condition conversation may go along the lines of person A, why can't you ever do the dishes? Person B, that's not fair. I often do the dishes, I just don't do them when you think they should be done. If we were processing, person A, can I process something with you? Person B, yes. Person A, I'm aware that I get upset when there are dirty dishes in the sink. It's not really about the dishes. It's just that I'm exhausted at the end of the day, and coming home to a pile of dishes feels like the last straw. I snap because I just don't have the energy for one more task. It feels like I'm the one for whom a clean sink is important, and I guess I get upset when it seems as if what's important to me is not being considered. Person B. Oh, I don't mean to be defensive when you point out the dishes have not been done. I'm just disappointed that you think I don't do my fair share of the work around the house. So the objective when processing is not to settle anything on the level of content. We don't solve a problem, resolve a conflict, arrive at a compromise, come to an agreement, or win an argument for one's position. Processing is a protocol to exchange information. Processing is a protocol to exchange information. It allows me to get clarity on what's going on for me and for you to witness that. If you choose, you can facilitate me. If we're processing about a situation that involves you and me, then we each get to talk about what goes on for us in the situation. The situation, the problem, the decision is not the subject of the exchange. Our process, how we are in the situation, what we feel about it, how we can be with it, is what's being explored. Okay? So we're going to practice that. Yeah, Mark?
Could you say that sentence again? Processing is a protocol.
Sure. Processing is the one that I, yeah. Processing is a protocol to exchange information.
About how we are or how we feel in the situation. The content is not the subject of the conversation, my process is.
So it's not about deciding who's right about the dishes.
It's not a debate, and it's not a dialogue. Yeah, that's why we did those exercises first. Pardon?
It's a process.
It's processing. Okay, so we're gonna demo what we want you to do in the next assignment, which is, are you gonna, should
we
just demo?
You're gonna start. Yeah, so we're gonna actually start with demoing what we don't want you to do. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a really collaborative person, and I hate that you wanna debate things with me all the time. You know, it just makes me feel so unheard when you won't go with what I want you to do, which is to include me in your conversation.
You know what? I don't know how, after this many years, you could not remember that I like to debate. It's fun.
Well, it's not fun for me.
Well,
so
but
why
how
you
can
know?
You think that I'm attacking you when...
Got it? We don't want to do that. Okay?
And yeah. Okay, so we're going to do it processing now, right? And the one ground rule of processing is that we're always owning our own experience. So watch for that in the
yeah,
demo.
And so I was actually blaming her for my experience in that interchange, right? So, okay. So I noticed that my preference is collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really good at it. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at persuading people to my point of view. Mm-hmm. And when I am faced with conflict, that puts me in a place of fear because I'm not so good at conflict.
Oh.
And mm-hmm. so when someone comes at me, it feels very, very threatening.
That's really interesting. So it feels like when someone comes at you with what feels like conflict, it feels threatening. And, you know, as you say that, what I realize is that for me, I think I actually enjoy debate. And that for me, it's not so much, it doesn't feel like a conflict. I realize it's almost more a playful thing. And so then for me, when someone doesn't kind of take the other side of the debate, it almost feels like they don't want to play with me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I could see how that would be the case, that yours is an invitation to play. And what it feels like for me is actually a dismissal, not an invitation. It basically causes me to shut down and withdraw from the engagement.
Uh-huh. So instead of feeling like play to you, it actually feels like you want to shut down and withdraw from it. So I could really see how my wanting to debate in a playful way isn't going to work in the...
Everybody got that?
Yeah?
Yeah? So one thing we want to say, processing is the highest form of communication there is.
Very challenging.
It's a mastery place, right? But we did want to give you a taste of the tool and see if we could start to at least plant that seed in how do you see what your process is, and then how do you communicate about your process with another person? Yeah? And it's, of course, very helpful when you're in group, because if you know what your process is, there's a way in which the facilitation can go deeper. But if you don't know what your process is, the facilitator is trying to facilitate you to look at your process, and the facilitation can't go that deep. So just it's not just something that we can use to solve a conflict. It can also be a way in which you can facilitate yourself because you're processing what you are looking at. Yeah?
So we're going to have an opportunity to practice it. And thank you for that intro, Ashwani, because truly, it's high level, right? So we're just going to practice. We're just going to have a little experience of it. But to the best of your ability, just practice. Just be here with it. Just practice. Instead of needing to go up here to figure out whether you're doing it right or how it's going or that sort of thing, we're just going to get our toes wet, if you will. Just kind of have a practice. And so if you would please make your way back to the partner that you had for that last exercise. And again, you're welcome to spread out. And go ahead and decide who's going to begin the processing.
You just had sort of an experience together, the two of you, right? And so that's what Ashwini and I were demoing, right? So in the dialogue and the debate, what Ashwini was saying was, wow, I really like the collaboration. And I was saying that I like the debate. And we were actually, you're looking at your actual authentic experience of the... of those exercises, right? You don't have to make it up.
In fact, you took notes about your process, mm-hmm. right? So that will jot.
You can refer to that.
In fact, that's what we want you to process. You saw your process in that situation, so process that with your partner. Mm-hmm. Philip.
Is collaboration the same as dialogue?
For me, it was.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I reported on it.
Okay.
That was just the process she was seeing.
I see.
She, yeah. Ken.
Are we doing both? Dialogue and debate.
You're not doing either.
Oh.
You're gonna process.
Okay.
So between the two of you, you're processing your experience of the previous exercise.
Okay.
Of both. You could do dialogue and debate.
Gotcha.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Oh, and excuse me. So we do it together, just kind of like you were, like a conversation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Was that your question too, Deepa? So you're doing it together. And the one ground rule being that you're owning your own experience. So if in the experience you felt like, you know, gosh, it was really challenging for me when, I was da-da-da, you're not talking anything about your partner. It's all you're experiencing, all your experience that you're processing. Okay?
Are we recording?
Yes. Nancy. To me, it was a positive experience. It was fun.
Great.
So there was, I didn't feel anything.
Well, what did you write down as your process?
Pardon?
What did you write down as your process?
Well, it's how I normally feel when I'm going through a debate.
So that would be what I share.
And what would be normal?
Very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. And why was it uncomfortable?
Because there's a fear that I might lose a friendship.
That's right. So that's your process.
Okay.
The fear of losing. And so that's what you're going to talk about. So you're just exploring what goes on for you in a debate situation, and your partner's going to say whatever they say. Yeah? Somebody gets it wrong.
Okay, yeah. You can report. Yeah, the whole conversation. Okay. You can report. Yeah. Okay.
Why are you making such a big deal out of this? And so it's like too much out on a limb.
Okay, so two things about that. And I think we're in the what did you notice part. So a couple of things right into it. The first thing that I would say is you want to get the recorder out and get really clear. This is the day one assignment two, right? What is it that you're really trying to do in that interaction? Mm-hmm. Before you get into processing with someone else, this is the giving information and receiving information clarity, right? Why are you engaging in that interaction? Because if you want to be really clear, all I want to communicate is that I was upset in this interaction. That's all I want to communicate. I don't want them to understand. I don't want them. You have to be really, really clear going in what you want out of it. That's why we do the first processing with ourselves, because at the end of it, you might go, I actually don't think that I need to say anything to that person. Because my experience in having a communication interaction with that person is that they get identified and they're not going to be different. So why would, I'm not going to go, but I got what I needed for myself. I was supporting her. So the first place to start is where you want to start. And if you get into an interaction with someone else, and for example, this is going, they think you're making such a big deal out of it. If here's the mastery place, that's where you process. So you can say, excuse me, do you think I'm making a big deal out of this? I feel like sometimes I'm blowing things out of proportion. May I check with you and see if that's your experience? Now I'm talking about my experience. Now you're out of the conversation and talking to the other person about the process that's going on for you. You're processing. Now you get clarity whether the other person is actually thinking. And they might say, of course, Elizabeth, why are you making such a big deal out of it? Uh-huh. Thank you for that information.
That's what I'm going to defend against.
Oh, okay. So let's just say that the person came back saying, why are you making such a big deal?
You keep talking about this?
Do we have to keep talking about it? And you could look to your process and go, actually, it does help me feel closer to you if I can tell you things about what's going on for me. Rather than, yes, I do. Why on earth can't you ever listen to what I have to say? It becomes a separating conversation. But if you stick to your process, you can actually always be present to what's going on for you and tell that person what's going on for you.
Right, because I see that ego wants to, self-hate wants to draw it into ego shame of I'm the person with the problem.
That's right. So you could say, you know, you might not, this person might lock you up in a mental asylum if you said you were hearing voices. But you could say, you know, while I'm talking to you, I feel like you maybe think I'm making a big deal out of this. Can you please let me know if that's the case? Because it would be really important for me, for you not to feel that. It's okay for you to feel whatever you feel, but it would be good for me to know that it's not a big deal. Oh, it is a big deal, Elizabeth. I'm sick and tired of what you always say. Uh-huh. Yeah, that may be the case, actually. I hear that might be difficult for you here, but you know what? It's really important for me to say this because that makes me feel more connected to you. If somebody still comes after you after that,
well, and that,
then you might do what Sherry said.
Exactly.
Goodbye, I'll go find someone else to talk to. Yeah. What did you notice? What else?
Karen.
Well, I preferred the processing over everything.
Uh-huh.
Over
the dialogue and the debate?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only reason that there was any level of conflict.
with the dialogue and the debate is because it was transparent. We both knew what we were doing.
Uh-huh.
And so there was that sense of play.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, I would not engage in that.
Uh-huh. And that's good to see.
Yeah.
I would imagine, right? Yeah. That there's a discomfort with both dialogue and debate. The only reason it was comfortable at all was in this situation, it was transparent. It was, you know, we knew we weren't, quote, serious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then when we got to the processing, what I love about processing is it, you know, it's more from the heart. You get to see the heart of the human.
Uh-huh.
And you get, it feels way more, it's authentic.
Uh-huh.
You know, you get to see the really what's going on for the human.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, and for us, we were doing, you know, one person would process, and then the other person would say a little bit about their process, and then process theirs.
Uh-huh.
So it feels like a shared kind of,
uh-huh,
to me,
uh-huh,
part.
Yeah, so it felt like you get to really see the person.
Yeah.
That you get to have an experience of authenticity in that processing.
It is, to me, a place of connection.
A place of connection.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
And it doesn't have to be personal, and yet
yeah,
it's not the conversation you go around in life having with people.
It is not.
It's intimate but not personal.
Yes.
To me.
Yes.
And
yeah, it's intimate but not personal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the possibility I was seeing as you were saying that, Karen, is to carry the spirit of that into a situation. You know, here you're on retreat and you're with a fellow person in the Sangha. Right? So I'm projecting it's much easier to have it be intimate and not personal, right? So to practice taking that into situations, you know, when we first started talking about it, we said, here's a communication technique that can be really handy in conflict. Because we do come up against places in life where, you know, this person who I love deeply has this other point of view than I do. And maybe we're in a situation where, you know, we're under the same roof, or we are for right now anyway, or we're in the same car, or we're, you know, whatever it is. We're sharing the same finances, or, you know, however that goes, where it requires us to come to it instead of just, you know, I don't really like those. I don't like conflict, so I'm going to go away from it. But it invites us to have a different relationship with it, to maybe use that processing tool when those things do come up, and to see if we can find that place of, it is intimate, there is a connection, we are two human beings together, but it doesn't have to be personal. I don't have to dig in and listen to this, and ideally, they don't either.
Well, and you know, the debate and then the dialogue, it's not even the conflict. It's not that it's a conflict.
Yeah.
It's just that it doesn't ever go anywhere.
Right, exactly.
Just to me and my,
yes,
you know, I mean, I've realized what I have a belief about it, that it's a waste of time.
Mm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what, there's a core belief,
yeah,
of, what am I doing?
Yes.
What's the point?
Yes. Well, and maybe it's a core belief, or maybe it's your experience in paying
yeah.
attention
yeah.
to realize, you know, so I'm going to dig into my position, and you're going to dig into your position.
Yeah.
We're never going to go anywhere with that,
yeah.
right?
And in the dialogue part, you know, it's we aren't dug in, you know, it's a little more socially acceptable, but
yeah.
it just felt like one-upmanship.
Yes.
It just feels like you're trying to one-up somebody.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's like, again, what's the point?
Right,
you
and
know?
Yes, exactly.
Like, you know, you love football, I love dogs.
Great.
You know, it's...
Go watch football.
Yeah, it doesn't
yes.
matter.
Yes.
Who thinks, what, so what?
Right.
Which is better. So it just,
yeah.
Yeah, so again, I just felt like the debate, for me, the debate, the dialogue, it's just not how I want to spend my life.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I forget how you phrased it a minute ago. It was so great. But, you know, what's the point? And we can see the point is separation.
Yeah.
That's the point. why, you know, so it's such a good duality, right? It's ego's favorite tool, right? Yeah. This or that. And so in processing, the possibility is we don't have to be in that. We don't have to be in the either or.
People can still be, still see from their feel. They can have their experience.
They can have their experience. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Great exercise. Thank you. Risa. Oh, sorry. Let me get Carolyn then. Carol.
Let's see. It was very upsetting to me to do both the debate and, I didn't like it at all, and I found that I was getting all hot and sweaty and my heartbeat was going up. And I didn't like the discussion either because, I prefer to hear everything she likes about her thing and everything that I liked about my thing. I prefer doing it at separate times rather than, okay, this, okay, that. It doesn't feel like we're really listening to each other. So
let me just catch up with you, right, Carol, because that is something that we are picking up in all of these. Inherently, we are uncomfortable. Authenticity is uncomfortable with ego. It's called divine dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Right? That we know when we're not in alignment with our hearts, that it's an ego position. It's a position against life. And there is an experience of that, which is what brings us to spiritual practice. There must be some other way to do this. Right? I don't want to feel separate. That feeling of separation is the anguish of the separation from the beloved. It's in all the mystical poetry there is. Right? And so, but what we're conditioned to do is either debate or dialogue, because we don't have a way to talk about things where that is different between us while maintaining the connection. The only way to do it is to stay in my process, which allows me to be in my process and you to be in your process, but we're establishing connection that is not based on content.
Right. Yes, I was so eager to do the processing part because I felt like it salvaged our relationship.
Yes, it does.
It's really important to me. And I couldn't even hear what people were saying. Come on, quick. Let's get to the part where we're processing so we can save our relationship.
Yes.
And even though we don't know each other.
Yes.
It's between us. And the only thing that I didn't say that I would have said was, I don't care that you like this and I like that. That's just fine. I just value our relationship. And you can have your own preferences, whatever. I can have mine. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
It's important to me how we talk to each other and how we listen to each other.
Yes, exactly.
I don't care about that other stuff.
Exactly. So when we really want to communicate, all we want is to be connected, right? But our protocols of communication, when ego is involved, achieve the exact opposite, which is separation, and I feel bad and I suffer, right? Because it's all about maintaining positions, whether you're doing it to agree or whether you're doing it to disagree, it's still an ego place. Mm-hmm. And what authentically we want, we can do if we process. Thank you.
Risa.
Ashwini, when you were giving an example just a few minutes ago about sort of narrating the voices when they come up during a processing interaction.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean in a processing interaction, like so I'm talking to you, we're processing, and I'm hearing the voices come up as we're processing?
Yeah, and then you sort of bring that into the conversation as a way of staying out of the conversation with those voices.
Yes.
Then what comes up for me is an experience, like, an experience in which, or many experiences I've had in which I'm start to do that, and the voices tell me that I'm falling into like a social feminized behavior pattern of sort of like admitting weakness, or like that I'm like insecurity with my own position, or with speaking up what's dropping in, but I didn't hear that in what you said, and I felt like somehow you were completing a thought or rounding out or contextualizing the fact that you were narrating those voices instead of narrating that as truth. but I'm just like on the edge of being able to perceive it, and I was hoping you could maybe talk a little bit more about that.
Can I ask you, Risa, to give us an example from your own experience of what you might be saying when you're...
Yeah, like for example, saying, being in a conversation with someone and saying, I mean, I might be wrong, but this is what I think, or this is what I'm seeing.
Uh-huh.
Or,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe that's not what you were saying,
actually. Yes, yes, yes. So let me see if I'm with you. So women are often socialized to take the edge off the communication, right? Don't be powerful, don't be strong, don't be, because that's going to be threatening, right? And so is that kind of what you're pointing at, that some of those phrases that could sort of be outing what the voices are saying to you feel like actually they kind of have a conditioned edge to them, kind of that sense of like, well, I mean, I'm not saying I'm right, I might not be right, but here's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, kind of it's thing. An expression of doubt, but it's not contextualized as being something that's coming up that could not be true, right?
Uh-huh.
It's just like, oh, yeah, I could be wrong, as if like, somehow there's just like this very last step that was happening in the processing that's not happening in these examples that you described and that I described, that somehow validates those voices that start coming up, rather than somehow like staying with what's present instead of giving the attention over to them.
Well, that seems like exactly the place to practice with it. Bingo. Right? Because if I'm following what you're saying, what you're seeing is a very subtle nuance of just being right here, processing what's going on, that the expanded awareness we started talking about last night, we've referred to it a bunch today, where I see what conditioning's up to. I see what it's trying to get me with. And that very subtle line of either outing that so that I don't have to be run by it. I think Rebecca's was the best example we had this morning, right? So instead of, you know, oh God, you know, I forgot that we were, you know, in this, that we were doing a facilitation thing and I completely lost consciousness. So instead of now trying to be the right person, the option is to say, whoa, you know what? I realized I just lost it for a minute there, and now I'm in a conversation about how I need to be the right person, so let me refocus, right? So that's just outing what the voices are up to, versus that subtle place I think you're pointing at, where sort of outing the voices, but in a way reinforcing what the voices are saying. Like, you know, you better be careful that, you know, you don't want to tick them off because, you know, so take the edge off or that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's somehow shifting the attention to the voices rather than bringing up your voices to maintain the attention on what's important.
Bingo. Yeah. So it's the difference between what we talk about as not seeing through, say the phrase.
Not looking at conditioned mind versus looking through conditioned mind.
Yeah.
And may I add,
please.
So the thing that, the way I would, in the example that Elizabeth was talking about, where there's something going on for me, so the reason to be present to what's going on for me is the reason I'm doing that, the reason I'm saying what's going on for me is to protect this human being from the voice. Mm-hmm. That's a very different place than saying what the voices are saying and confessing that to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what you're pointing to.
Yeah.
The contextualization is the recognition that I'm being crucified inside and I'm not going to let that happen. So being present to that, I'm just going to, in the communication, be really authentic. You could even laugh and say, gosh, you know, I hope I'm not sounding like those women who have to be submissive and just laugh it off, but in that way you're not giving any information, I mean, you're not giving any attention to that conversation, and you're protecting this human being in what you're saying. It's not really to communicate to the other person that you're saying it, but to stay present to not going with the identification in the moment.
So there's as you're describing it, you're describing it as invalid rather than
that's exactly right. Exactly right. I'm not validating it, I'm outing it.
Yeah.
It's not a run me.
I'm having hearing this invalid voice.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. exactly so. Mm-hmm. Pasha. Oh, and then John.
So we still go sharing what we saw.
Yes, you're absolutely yes.
So I
can you hear?
No.
Okay, you're gonna project.
I saw one. In a debate. I get identified with ego who feels powerful. I'm gonna be right. I'm gonna win. I'm gonna be on top. So there is a lot of. Ego, there's a lot of stake for ego.
Yeah, so in a debate, I'm going to reflect. In a debate, there's that desire to be right, to be on top, to be powerful.
Yeah.
And so that's the identification of ego in debate for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a dialogue, it's more like a salesman. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be persuasive.
Yeah.
But you're going to buy this car.
Yes, exactly. I'm still going to win. I just am going to be nice about it.
Yeah.
Salesman versus
whatever. Something else.
Yeah.
Dictator.
Yeah, bully. Okay.
Yeah.
Dictator.
Yeah. In both cases, I saw that for me, it could be a loss even when I win.
Yes, in both cases it could be a loss for you. Say more about that.
When I win a debate, okay, they agreed. I don't feel like that celebration. You know, I just spent a lot of energy. Ego sucks the energy out of me, and I don't feel the winnings that it was promising me while I was debating.
Yes. Yeah. You don't feel the celebratory ecstasy and joy of having debated and won because all of the energy went to ego.
Yes.
So the human being is left feeling empty.
Yes.
Yeah.
At a car salesman, I feel like often cheated. Even I enjoyed the kind of a game.
You enjoyed the game as the car salesman, but you still feel cheated.
Yeah, or I feel guilty that I cheated somebody.
Or you feel guilty that you cheated somebody.
Yeah. Versus on the process, I felt like, you know, I'm here with me, I'm okay with me, I'm learning more about me, and...
So in the processing, you felt like you're here with you,
yeah.
You can learn more about you, you're with you.
Yeah.
And
you're welcome to join, you're here with you, and we're both here with each of humans.
Yes. So it is so hard to describe, but that is authentic. We call that in the book communion, because it is a way to be completely with. I think Penny was referring to the loneliness comes if we're attempting to communicate each identified with ego but not connected with ourselves. But as soon as we're connected with ourselves, we're connected to each other in non-separation. It's not because of what we say that causes us to bridge our you there and me here, but the sense that we haven't left life that allows us to actually feel the connection.
Yeah, it feels that I'm losing anything. I feel more relaxed.
Yes, and you are not you losing anything. You feel more relaxed.
And at the end, I'm still okay. You know, it's we didn't solve the problem, but we built the connection.
Yes, we didn't solve the problem, but we still had the connection. Yeah. There's no loss in that. It's completely whole.
Yeah, I felt like I can compare like parents, two parents, you know, and coming to two children who are fighting, right? I'm not going to be upset on another parent, like, why is it your child is fighting with my child? We're just going to pull them apart and maybe apologize to each other, but we're going to be kind of in this together.
Yeah.
You know, our children are fighting, and we are trying to save them and save us from
exactly
from the
did everyone hear that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Janice.
So I think what I saw, you know, about the debate
was that I found it really uncomfortable.
The debate was really uncomfortable.
Right. And even though when I look back at habit energies as a child, I debated it with my father all the time. Mm-hmm. Whatever opinion he had, I would need to take
the other one.
The other, especially if it was the underdog. But now it's like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah.
And I really want to hear the other person.
Yeah, you don't want to do it anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And you actually want to hear the other person.
But what I found was there was a debate, and then when there was the dialogue, I was actually feeling like I was kind of taking on the other person's point of view.
Maybe the cat is better.
Yeah, and that when they were uncomfortable, I was projecting that they were uncomfortable with, you know, maybe not being heard, for example, or whatever their situation was, I couldn't comfort them because it was a debate. And that made me feel, like, really bad. And I had to look to see, what am I projecting, too?
Yeah.
And how I have the habit to want to fix something that may not have even been a problem.
Yeah, so there was the process that you got to see.
Yes.
Right? So in that, what was mirrored was, whoa, I really have a need to fix something that may not even be a problem. I actually have no idea. Mm-hmm. But the habit now is to try to go in there and fix it. And that is why processing is so helpful, right? Because now that you've seen that, that, I project, is going to be in your expanded awareness. And the next time that comes up, or, you know, sometime whenever that comes up at some point, it will catch your attention. Oh, hey, wait a minute. I'm about to assume that I need to fix something here. Do I? Right? It will give you that space to question it, and maybe even to ask a clarifying question.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Because there was definitely beliefs and assumptions in there.
Yeah.
And when the other person was expressing how much fun it was, like, I was like, oh.
Huh, I missed the fun part.
But they were having fun. I didn't see that.
Exactly. That's not what you were projecting at all.
I think I'm making them uncomfortable.
Yes,
so
exactly. And then then you get to find out. It's like, what's behind door number one? Fun? Wow. I didn't project that at all. But so it really combines processing and clarifying. It shows how those two can go together. So you're talking to someone, right? You're processing. And then you realize you're projecting, oh, I'm making them really uncomfortable. You can check it out with a clarifying question. You know what? I just realized I'm feeling like I'm making you uncomfortable. Am I making you uncomfortable? And they said, oh, not at all. I was having fun.
Anna. There was something that I just heard you say.
Something that you just heard me say.
That I think revealed the whole suffering around communication and showed me something about the exercises that we just did. And I heard something.
Everyone,
like,
can hear her?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I heard something like, what we say can't take us from separation to connection. It's not what. And in the exercise, what I experienced was, in the debate, there was an experience of energy that was separation. So it felt like I was in a little, the energy was like in a little box, and there would be like one kind of, I would say something about my position, and it's like the energy would go out there and then drain, and out there and then drain, but it was all happening in a little box. And then in the processing, the experience was like being in one stream of energy with the other person, and it was building and building and building. And how that goes together with the what and the how is that I think there's such a belief that that moving from separation to connection is about what I say, which keeps in place this looking to conditioned mind for finding the right thing to say in the what that's going to take me from separation to an experience of connection. And instead, it's not, so that would be the doing. Right?
Yes. Let me make sure I reflect that, because it's such an important point. What we're conditioned to believe creates connection.
Yes.
Is what I say.
Yes.
Which means that I spend my life consulting conditioned mind to fabricate the perfect way mm-hmm. of communicating
yes.
what I want to say
yes.
in the hopes that it will be so correct that the other person gets me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And what happens, despite every way you twist yourself into a pretzel to get the perfect communication out there, it's you're not getting the experience that you're looking for, which
yes.
is the suffering around communication. I'm attempting to connect and all I feel is separate.
Yes.
Because it's not about the what.
Yes.
I'm not in the how I of the communication.
Exactly.
Right? We're not establishing the connection that has nothing to do with the what and
yes.
has everything to do with the how.
Yes.
And, which requires me never to have left here
yes.
in order to be able to communicate the what by consulting conditioned mind.
Yes. And so it's a being.
A being
in that place.
Hmm. Yes. And so the only way to be authentic is to talk about whatever's going on with you.
Yes.
Not what's going on with you, but how, your how.
Yes.
That's how we establish the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly so. So liberating, isn't it?
So liberating.
Yeah.
Yeah, and fun.
And fun.
And fun and, yeah.
Yeah. And I think the point that everybody has made so far today is true, which is, we don't leave ourselves.
Yes.
So the connection doesn't come from someone else mirroring me,
exactly.
but that I haven't left my experience of connection in
yeah.
order to go to an experience of separation, hoping someone else will take me out of separation into connection.
Yes.
Yikes.
Yes. Which, when we did the exercises with what you going into the interaction. What's the implied
the
ask?
Expect, yes.
The implied
yes.
ask boiled down to, I want the other person to, what you just said.
To mirror
to
me.
To take away
oh,
this
to take,
experience
yeah.
of
separation,
separation and bring me to an experience of connection.
Mm-hmm. Bingo.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anna, can we have...
Just,
go ahead.
Just a quick question. So if I'm feeling frustrated, so would I say I'm feeling frustrated? Or is that not, that's not the how, that's the what.
Well, it depends. Because it really depends, and we really have to go.
Okay,
so maybe we could, can we take
yeah.
this up with
yeah.
Sherry this evening? Right? Because
yeah.
it really is contextual. If I'm frustrated, I can take out my frustration with the recorder, then that's great. But if I'm in a communication with somebody and I go, classic customer service case, right? That person is taking thousands of frustrated phone calls. And you can say, instead of saying, I can't believe you are so stupid and have the worst bureaucratic system in the world, you could say, I'm so sorry, I'm just really frustrated by what's going on for me. That would be an appropriate place to say, to own your experience and talk about your process. That way you're not taking it out on the other person.
Yeah.
You're just saying, this whole thing is just making me so angry. Okay.
Can I get a
name
for tonight?
Carol,
Justin, Katie.
Justin, Katie, and Jodine, and Scott.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Remember who you are.